Hear this story about the birthday of the church. Acts 2:1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. And I shall show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. We had kept it a complete surprise. For my dad's 80th birthday, his cousin Anders had flown from Sweden and was hiding out in the basement. To increase the element of fun, we had arranged for Dad to Skype with Anders. Skype is on the computer, video, direct, back and forth talking like it's real, you know. So this was going to be a part of Dad's birthday, this Skyping with Anders. Of course, Dad naturally assumed that Anders and his wife Margarita were at home in Sweden and not in the basement. Imagine my father's shock when the live video session was over and Anders then enters the room with a real-life bear hug for my dad. What a day it was. We almost were concerned that he might have had a heart attack with so much excitement. But birthdays are full of surprises. Parties that we didn't know were happening. Guests that we had no idea were going to show up. Presents that we shake and try to figure out, and then finally we open them and see what they are. Candles on the cake that just will not blow out no matter how hard we try. Pentecost, the birthday of the church, was full of surprise. We say that it is the birthday of the church because before this day, the disciples were a ragtag group of individuals. And after this day, they were united, inclusive, and sharing a powerful message to the world. They had followed Jesus for 3 years. They had gone everywhere he had gone, except to the cross. He was the glue that held them together. He had challenged them to do things they had never done before. But now they must have wondered, what will happen? How will we continue building the kingdom of God if our chief architect and motivator is not with us anymore? How do we tell others about someone who's not here? Our unforgettable leader, the Messiah who called us friend, is gone. The tragedy of his death, the miracle and surprise of his resurrection, and the mystery of his departure up into heaven must have left them wondering, stunned, uncertain, and a little confused. But they hung together. Those 11 hung together. They went to Jerusalem to wait for the power that Jesus had promised. They replaced Judas with Matthias so that now they were 12 again. They and 120 other believers, including Jesus' mother and brothers, prayed and prayed and waited and prayed. And then the day of Pentecost came. Because many of us have heard this story many times, it's become kind of tame. We tended to domesticate the Spirit's arrival. We find red in our closets and we wear it, which is a little bold for some of us. We imagine little birthday candle-sized flames that cooperate when they're blown out. If there's a breeze, it is a gentle one, and the crepe paper flutters nicely to our delight. But Pentecost was much more out of control. The sound was like a violent wind. Can you imagine a 30, 40, 50 mile an hour wind inside your house? The sound of that? Flames appeared all around them and on top of them inexplicably. And then they started speaking in a language that they didn't know. They were speaking in a language they never learned. So loud was all of this that people walking by on the street heard them and they came in to investigate. And while they were there, awestruck and, yes, cynical, they must be drinking, Peter, with no time to prepare, preached his first sermon on the fly. Surprise, time to preach a sermon. And what a day it was. I confess to you, I don't really like surprises. Now, I'm not talking about those times when my husband managed to pull off a surprise birthday party, and he did amazingly well many times in the past years. I'm not talking about the fun things that people do to show their love for me. The surprises that I don't like are the ones that interrupt my life or require that I change or put me on the spot or scare me. The surprises that I could do without are the ones that remind me that I am not in control. But that's exactly what happened on Pentecost. And it's what happens every time God's Spirit is birthing something new. And we never know when that will happen. My daughter is expecting her first baby next week. This week, I guess it would be. And for the longest time, I anticipated that that baby would arrive on the day that it's due, which is May the 26th, right? Okay, we say due date, May the 26th. I was delighted when our youth director, Susan Clark, agreed to preach next Sunday, the 30th. Going to be a fabulous sermon, and thank you, Susan. And then I made my plans to be gone from the 27th for about a week. But then, about a month ago, it hit me. that I have no idea when that baby is going to come. And I'm not going to go before it comes and sit around waiting, counting the days with my daughter. I have no control over that situation, nor should I, nor has anyone ever when things go naturally. I was very humbled by this realization and simply decided to wait and to pray. The church was born when God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, blew through the disciples' lives and filled them up. It was surprising the way that it happened, but what an awesome day it was. It united them with strong bonds of purpose and affection. The scripture says they loved each other. It filled them with power and gave them a message to share with the world. And before that day was over, the day the church was born, the church grew from 120 to over 3,000 strong. And it continues to this day. However, today's celebration is a little bittersweet. Some people say that the church is dying. The Church of Jesus Christ around the world, particularly in the United States and Europe. After 1,982 years, many churches in mainline denominations are declining. This past Friday, a poll was released by Gallup that found that 92% of Americans still say yes when they're asked a simple question, do you believe in God? And that may seem a high percentage, 92%, but compare it to that same question asked about 40 years ago, and the number was 96%. And there's another thing. 20% of Americans, 1 in 5, a number that is quickly growing every day, do not identify with any particular religious group or religion. And it's a significantly higher percentage if you look at those under 30. Many people still believe in God. But more and more of them do not connect with a particular religion or denomination, or in our case, local church. I wonder if we have tamed the Holy Spirit so that there are no surprises anymore, so that we are in control and not God. Now, you've noticed, I'm sure, that there's a lot of red in the room today, and the reason is that it's a symbol for the Holy Spirit, the flames that came among them as the Holy Spirit entered that space. The dove is also a symbol, and you see that in multiple places around the room. And the reason the dove is a symbol is because when Jesus was baptized, the scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit came down like a dove upon him. So this is great, red doves, but in Celtic Christianity, especially centered around Scotland and the island of Iona, where center of Christianity is, instead of a calm dove, a wild goose is used for a symbol of the Holy Spirit. A wild goose, it's a very noisy bird that is uncontrollable, and if you try to control it or get near it or bother it, it will try to bite you. How has our desire for status quo, where there are no surprises and the power of God is restrained and held tight, left us unable to creatively and boldly reach the world, especially those under 30? Around us. It does not have to be this way. This is not inevitable. These polls that show decline are not the end. They are not the last word. Pentecost points us to two principles that can give life to the church. today. First, God can and will use anyone to cast a vision and lead the church. Peter, preaching that great extemporaneous first sermon of his in that wind fire event that drew a crowd, quoted God through the prophet Joel. He said, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy," which means to preach, to speak the gospel. "And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit." A church dies a little bit each time it tries to limit who can do the Spirit's work. And believe me, we do try. When your first non-male pastor showed up 8 years ago, it was a surprise. You'd never had one of those before. And for some of you, it was a concern. And you might have even thought, "Not over my dead body." But you didn't die, and here you are. You stayed open to the Spirit, and God has used us together to make a difference in this community and world. We often say that children and youth and even young adults are the future of the church. But this is only partly true, and it limits the Spirit's power. Children, youth, and young adults are the church right now. The young people who are professing their faith in Christ today have just as much Holy Spirit in them as I do or you do. And I can't wait for Meredith and Cole and Jackson and Nathan and Nick and Ashley to show us just how and what it means to be the church today. What a day this is. And then the second principle is this: we have got to stick together. We have got to stick together. We've come to think that it's an option. Like, oh, if everything's going well, if I agree with other people about things, or if I like the other person that I'm sitting next to in the pew, or if I feel happy at any given moment in time, or if nobody has hurt my feelings lately, then I'll hang in there. I'll be the church. I'll stick with it. John Ortberg tells a story of a friend who made his first trip south from Chicago to Tennessee. And on his first morning there, he went to the restaurant. He noticed on the menu almost everything had this thing called grits attached to it. He was not familiar with this southern dish, and so he asked the waitress, "Could you exactly tell me what is a grit?" And then, looking down on him with a mixture of compassion and condescension, she said, "Sugar, you can't just get one grit. They always come together." So if the church is going to have a life-changing message for a world that is less and less interested in what we have to say, we have to stick together. And we have to say it in one voice. And we have to be open to everyone speaking, whether it's your pastor or your young people or your older people, the women, the men who are here to testify and prophesy. Now, more than ever, here at Providence, more than ever. So, happy birthday, everyone. Humbly watch for the Spirit surprises, and may there be many, many, many more. Amen.